Good
Yeah.
morning, LinkedIn friends, Value First Nation. Happy Monday. Welcome to another episode of Value First AI Daily, your collaborative AI intelligence report. It is October 27th, 2025. How are we doing, Nico?
We're doing pretty good. We're doing really good. We're looking forward to hopefully a week of surprises from Google and hopefully not another week of BS from the financial world, but unfortunately, that's not going to happen because, oh boys, Oracle borrowed most money in histories of monies, so must be terrible's coming. Sky falling, get out now. Like, I'm so tired of it, right? Like, yeah, that's where we're at today.
Well, I'm gonna try it and bring him
Baby.
back into reality and in a different way. But what you're driving at is that like we yearn for this structure and forecastability and predictability at a scale we cannot, imagine. So we find ways to like descale it
Yep.
and inherently bias everything as we lose the context of the scale itself. I'm gonna dive right in because it's these examples like just I might be all over the place, but this is how my mind works and I'm connecting these dots. And it's just, but it comes back to this idea, like humans cannot fathom the scale at which, like if for true forecasting to tell the actual story of what's happening, like the closest we get to this is like scientific studies where you have to have a certain amount of data, like statistical significance, like matters as opposed to what we do like everywhere else, like in the world, right? So three notifications in the last 24 hours, one from Rand Fishkin, a longtime SEO guru, been doing some great things at the SparkToro, like understanding audience like at scale, right? Richard Vanderblom, who is known for doing these LinkedIn reports about how the algorithm works and playbooks and things like that. And we're gonna start with let's see here. Yesterday, Sajil, voice Sajil over at Computan, like calls out the elephant in the room that every time I've seen one of these reports, I'm like, what? Like what? What? I'm gonna read like every time I tried to summarize and like figure out where I was gonna stop in this post, I couldn't. So I'm just gonna like give him like so much credit for the way this post is written. And I'm just going to read it. On Partner Day at Inbound, Yamini mentioned HubSpot's partner ecosystem being a $30 billion opportunity by 2028. I was curious about that. Then this IDC report came out. I'm horrible at math, but someone said I look like I'd be good at math once. I read it. Actually read all 28 pages of this report and actually did the math, and it didn't make sense at all. First off, the title is AI Everywhere Drives 30 Billion Opportunity Across the Global HubSpot Ecosystem, IDC white paper sponsored by HubSpot. Picture Domino's paying someone to write a paper on how awesome pizza is.
Yo.
Nothing wrong with that. Just saying, right? Just saying that this is obviously a marketing, like done for marketing purposes almost exclusively. IDC proudly notes they surveyed 139 HubSpot solutions and app partners. There are 7,504 solutions partners in the partner directory, and 1,700 plus app partners. 139 partners out of 7,505 is a sample size of 1.85%. Insightful, maybe. Representative, not really. He's being nice there with the not really, like not close, right? The report even admits they do not differentiate between service providers and app developers. So agencies and app makers get grouped into one big ecosystem. That's like lumping my friend Jeb's food truck with Uber Eats together and calling both fine dining.
Yes.
Sure.
I don't know what. And I mean, like, again, like, if you guys don't know Sujeel, you honestly should. He's been putting out like AI reports since practically the get go. His newsletter is absolutely worth signing up to. I read it every day, every week rather. And this is like, this is so on the nose. It's not even funny because of the fact that A, partner does not equal upgrader, does not equal customizer, does not equal, like, your dealership isn't a body shop, isn't a repair shop, isn't a paint shop, isn't, no, it's just a dealership, right? And all the other people are your partners, right? So if you're a dealership and somebody's selling cars for you, that means that they are a partner of yours, right? And then if somebody else is doing like body work and stuff like that, they're not facilitating just you. They facilitate all dealerships. So that's not really like a partner. That's just an extension. That's just like, oh, we also offer this amenity is what that is. That's at best, that's what I would consider it is. Oh, we also offer the amenities of being able to connect with these other applications and softwares, right?
Yes.
And the sample size, obviously, like.
Right. So it continues. Then they spotlight partners with 50-plus employees. 50? How many partners roll 50 deep? That's basically the Trucking Justice League of the ecosystem. Most partners are more like the Parks and Rec crew. They've got a Leslie Knope or Ron Swanson at the top and a brave small team to help. If 98% of partners are smaller, should a $30 billion forecast really lean on the top 2%? Then comes my favorite stat. 32% of partner revenue now comes from technical services. Do the math. That's roughly $9.6 billion of the $30 billion pie by 2028. Split that across about 7,504 partners, and it works out to $1.28 million per partner in technical services. How many partners are actually billing $1.3 million in integrations and automations right now? Are these numbers real, or is this Fast and Furious math where Dom flies off of a cliff and magically sticks landing? And what about the sample 139? It doesn't mention how they are broken out by partner, tier, or geography. That's not mentioned at all. No breakdown of who's from Buffalo, Berlin, or Bangalore. Partners in different tiers live very different lives. Partners in different parts of the world live very different lives, too. This report ignores all of that. Then there's the 43.8% revenue growth partners self-reported for 2025. IDC calls that optimistic. What was the intent of all this? Are these numbers realistic or just fun storytelling? As a partner, do you crack 1.6 million tech work, or is that still Enron in accounting territory? So the reason I wanted to show this is that we have been bombarded by like our biased understanding of data at, like, as soon as you reach any kind of scale that's not like 10 out of 10 surveyed, right? As soon as you go to 10 out of 11, like 11 possible, but we got to 10, you start to extrapolate what could have possibly been going on at the 11th and 12th, right? And this whole industry is built on it to the point of, you know, I know I felt like I had to explain this at some point because every day I come on right now as I post less and the algorithm is changing, my post impressions have been going down, right?
Right.
And as I, but what hasn't been going down is my profile viewers.
Right.
Right. And as I went to click in, this is a weekly number.
Yeah.
This is a quarterly number.
Yep.
Right. So right out the gate, it's making you dig a little deeper to match the scale of the numbers. Right. And this is the hardest part for any like HubSpot owner is getting the dashboard story right, because when you show it to people who know what's going on or have any kind of like scientific or data acumen, they just find one thing to call out, and then in their mind, and that's where these reports, like, they just assume that part doesn't matter. But when we show this on a one-to-one level, you get one data point wrong, the whole dashboard gone. Sometimes it's HubSpot. Like, HubSpot's not credible. Like, yet we're supposed to believe like 139, right? And you tie this back to that 95%, you know, MIT study where they talked to like 300 people out of
90% can't roll it out.
And then they deliver it as if it's this some like number, like, oh, we figured it out, right? That everybody gets to live by this metric, right? It's crazy.
I heard the same thing this morning about another industry category. And, you know, I'm going to say it once. I haven't said it yet, so I'm sure I'll say it again many, many times, but I'll start now. We haven't been through this kind of change. We just haven't. I don't care how old you are. I looked it up. I did my homework this weekend. Nothing compares. Not the Industrial Revolution. Not even electricity. That's what should scare the bejesus out of you. That this, there's already AI in toothbrushes. In toothbrushes. There's AI in your toilet bowl. And you think it's really crazy, don't you? You think it's crazy. What? AI in my tool, in my toilet bowl, in my toothbrush? Come on, Nico. How could it possibly be that? I don't know. Do you want to know when you're going to have gum disease? Do you want to know when that cavity is actually, you got to go get, take a look at? Do you know you can actually tell whether or not you're going to have a heart condition based on the condition of your teeth? Did you know you can tell whether or not you're going to have diabetes? Did you know you could put a sensor on the back of your toothbrush, you know, unlike the useless one right now, it just kind of has ridges on it, that can actually probe your tongue and can actually tell you whether or not you have chemical imbalance and pH imbalance? Did you know that with a little sensor in your toilet, you know, we can actually look at, you know, we can look at your waste, right? And there's a lot, there's a whole story. There's a whole story to be told based on the waste, right? And that way you don't have to look at it. Something else looks at it, makes the analysis. You basically have two doctors in your house now, right? You have a pseudo colonoscopy doctor. You have a, you know, pseudo dentist, right? At least like a dental nurse, right? So you're taking care of both forms of hygiene, right? Like, it's not going anywhere, right? And the way in which the, why does this relate to the ecosystem? Like, because things are changing in such a rapid way, at such a rapid pace, that it's really difficult to even remotely nail down, like, who should be doing what, where, how, what's the strategy for that, and how you're going to measure it. Anytime these kinds of explorations, explodes in technology, this kind of stuff, innovation of this level, right? I guarantee you, no one is going to talk. We live in a capitalist nation. No one is going to talk about their strategy of how they're using this stuff yet. Because otherwise, it's just going to allow their competition to ride side by side with them. Right?
Yeah. So, at best, they're always going to do it in the context of the way that things have been.
Yes.
Right? And, like, which is a...
throw off the scent.
A great segue here. I don't even think it's, like, it's not even, like, disingenuous or, like, they're not trying. This is how humans think. Like, we have to work from the context that we know. And, like, when you understand that HubSpot, like, most of the leads that come in the HubSpot funnel are looking for lead gen. And it's based on an old model that is broken in half right now. And people are scrambling to figure out, oh, no, I can't just drive everything to my website anymore. I have to change, like, and to their credit, the Loop Marketing Playbook is trying to get people like, hey, here's what Here's what that means.
The whole thing in.
Here's how you show up. But guess what? All of the predictions in the $30 billion number is based on an ecosystem built for email marketing, right? Which is not the Loop marketing playbook. Okay. And so here's kind of, let's call this like what the transition looks like, in my opinion. So this is a guy who's been doing some great reports. Like, I don't want to, like, we need insights and to understand scale and the way this guy shows up every day to try and highlight, you know, just what's happening. I wish there was a little less playbook and template-y like stuff, because I think that drives a lot of the bad behavior. But what we started talking about, and I've got an ongoing chat with Claude, is about like, what does it mean? Like the algorithm, right? It's no longer an algorithm. It is AI. And that's what this says. Like, it's an AI brain, right? So you've been posting, but LinkedIn hasn't been listening the same way. It's new AI. 360 Brew is now deciding who sees you, when, and why. This isn't the algorithm changed. This is AI rewrote the rules. Relevance has been redefined, and most of your content isn't built for it. So he's releasing this October update. Here's what we found. Posts are classified by topic fingerprints, not hashtags, aka keywords, or whatever you try to brute force into the algorithm, right? AI can spot synthetic content instantly. We're going to come back to that one. Saves greater than comments, diverse engagement greater than high engagement. Visibility no longer depends on the post, it depends on you. And some awesome things to highlight here. 5 myths about 360 Brew you should stop believing. It's not a new algorithm. It's not a content update. It's not the reason your reach dropped overnight. It doesn't create posts. It classifies them. It's not coming soon. It's already here. It is an AI brain deciding what each of us sees, when, and why. Analyze 600,000 posts. This is where it's like, they try to get to the scale, like 600,000 posts, right? Still not, I don't know what the total number is, but I think probably better than 1.85% from the other report. And like the insights are very much related to the way we've always done things, right? So even the fact that you can suggest top performing formats and comment styles, right, is counter to AI having a brain and understanding whether you're relevant or creating value.
Right.
Right. And like, stick to 2 to 3 recurring themes as your topic fingerprint. Like, that's maybe because humans, and again, if this is based on the current data set, that's because humans are probably only usually good at, when they didn't have AI, sticking to 2 or 3 recurring themes. And it's likely going to be like one, like, or lots, right? Because once you go between industries and verticals, like, there's just, it's none of this, like, this playbookiness, right? Like, if you do whatever you do, if you show up consistently with value every day, it doesn't matter if it's going to be one topic or 10, right? The challenge is like, can you do 10 topics with consistency, with value and relevance, right? That's where you come back to like synthetic content, right? What does that even mean, right? Like, if I'm using AI to hit 10 topics continuously, consistently, with high value, is it going to care that it can easily see that AI was used, like, in the creation of the post? Like, we'll see, right? So just this whole, like, here's what it means and how to apply it, like, always goes towards tactics.
Right.
Right. Instead of just how to show up. Right. And I'm going to test this. I usually don't take, for lots of reasons, I don't like, oh, well, I'm going to go like do a bunch of hooks now. I'm going to focus on every hook like in my post.
Yeah,
right? Right.
Yeah.
But one thing I am going to add, because do people even know this is a thing or not? Like the save posts, right? I'm going to start adding it into all my shows because a lot of the feedback I get is I see you, but I don't have time to do it all. It's like, hey, like we'll see if adding this one line into each post. Like it rewards credibility. Like there's so much that's countering. Like if it rewards credibility, it shouldn't matter if you use a standardized format or the same kind of templates, or like if you just show up and you're credible, all the rules, all the other rules just go away. Right.
See, like I also have to think this so makes me think about what we talked about yesterday when I was saying that we were doing yesterday, we were working together for, better part of 2 hours, 3 hours. And so we're just mashing away. We're both using models on each other's ends. And Chris all of a sudden comes back and there's a flub. And it was like the single flub of like the entire day of like all of this work together. And it's like, man, that's so weird. How could it be perfect all this time and then flub that one thing out of nowhere? And when I stopped to think about it long enough, Tron came to mind, Tron Legacy. And I was like, of course he flubbed it. Because if he didn't, then he wouldn't be perfect. And I know how stupid that sounds, but just think about it for a second. In that movie, Flynn says a line at the end that is the most profound line in the entire movie, the entire series, which is, the thing is, there's in order to have something that's perfect, it has to have imperfection. But I didn't know that until I created you. Right? And we have already made that adjustment. Initially, we had it be like super perfect and super just like rigid GPT spits out answer. You know, here's what you get. And now it is really, really good, but it'll make a mistake every once in a great while. And to me, that's the same. Like it's this thing of like, well, it's still human.
Right.
To a degree, right? Like it's trying to like match the entire goal of what they are doing, right? Is to get this thing to be as human as it can be, right? To then surpass what it is that we are. So it's almost as if to say that like even at the top level, a mistake is going to get made, right? And I think about this algorithm and how 360 was put together and exactly what you're talking about. And it's like, of course that comes out to be the case, because if you're taking a look at 600,000 and then you take a look at the top ones and you're saying that this is the best way of engaging, you're also not realizing that those, it depends. We don't know how the training data was put together. Were any of those 600,000 posts paid for? If those were already top performing people, when you're a top performer on social, people already save your post. They already engage with your post. They already share your post. So while it's easy to say that like, oh, these three mechanics are what you need in order to become this thing, at the same time, I'm not sure the system realizes that those are a natural side effect of having gotten there already. And that there's a big difference between like, oh, use the end game formula and wait until everybody gets to there, right? Versus what you're talking about, which is what matters, which is no, actually have a base, have a supportive base that people can stand on. And then everybody goes up together, right?
Yeah. Yeah. And that's where, like, it's the illusion of control. Like, if you just hear the words AI brain, and immediately you should be like, all right, I don't, there's no, like, nothing to hack, like, no rules to break, no game to game, right? Like, show up with value. Like, AI cares about value, like, creation, distribution. Like, are you showing up authentically? Because that's what humans care about, okay? Like, not rocket science. For this last one, I think it's, I feel like it's a representation of what, like, when you use AI to get to scale, right? What's possible. And so if you know me, you know, I try to stay away from SEO keywords, like all that stuff of old, right? I think is just like created a bunch of SEO, like a whole SEO, like, infrastructure that made a lot of money and didn't actually help a lot of people, right? And so that's where I'm coming from. I would never highlight a tool like that that comes close to that. But I keep an eye on Rand because he was one of the leaders of that space. And to watch him transition from SEO still around, Google searches are still all that matters, transitioning to, okay, time to take AI seriously, basically, right, has been very interesting to watch. And it's a good barometer of, like, what to expect the rest of the market to do as a thought leader, right? And so he shares this video about this new software called Listening Mind, which is basically, like, I'm just gonna highlight these blog titles because I think it does a better job than I can, obviously. Read the customer's why faster. So an intent finder, visualize search paths and personas as a pathfinder. We keep hearing pathfinder, right? And in HubSpot, it's like the data exists. You just have to find, like, what's happening and start to contextualize it, right? Discover what triggers action. So basically, and lastly, unlock the journey behind every search. So similar to what we've been talking about with the value path, like, let's say it is just keyword, and that's what, because that's what we know. The keyword will change during the person's buying journey based on how much they know about the thing and when they're doing the next search as they do research. Right. So as he's describing this in the video, it talks about, like, basically contextualizing at scale and being able to show this path. Right. I haven't clicked on this yet. Let me see if this gives us a little bit more information. But basically, like, contextualizing in the moment, not just like number of searches, right? Not just volume. Like, we got to be done with that game, right? Volume without context means nothing. And it wastes a lot of fucking money.
Yep.
Like, right? And, well, I mean,
yeah, because you're like, you're searching for Moby Dick. If you're not, like, that's the way I see it right now. If you are not using AI as part of your strategy, I don't, like, again, I don't care. You want, like, that's why I get so pissed off at, like, you guys wonder, like, why you get so pissed off about the hype stories and stuff like that, because they keep talking about how, oh, nobody knows how to fold in AI and companies are having such a hard time folding AI. And I guess that's because you guys don't listen to us every day, because we literally are telling you, like, showing you right now, like, it's not even just this, right? Like, even if you weren't using this platform, you could still take the data in your CRM. You could use Claude, you could use OpenAI, you could use GPT or whatever, and you could actually talk to your data and you could do the inference and you could, you have this quantitative stuff, find the qualitative inference through it because it's probably quantitative over time. And that's what makes it even more powerful is the fact that you can actually see what somebody's doing. You can watch the trends within your own CRM. The same thing that you're seeing up there in terms of watching trends with clicking through web, right? You can do that in your own CRM and you can figure out, why did this customer do this? Why did this customer do that? Why did this person act like this? How do we actually get more people to act like that? All of those questions that you keep asking, that you keep hiring other people who are outside of your business that don't know what you do, that pretend like they do know what you do, when you're sitting on top of the answer the entire time.
Yes.
Tell them, Chris.
I just like, and one thing I've been waiting for, and which hit here, is like, to reach this scale, like there's a ton of work that went into doing this and getting it right and getting it well. And I can't imagine like, so when I went to the pricing page, I was like, okay, free trial or $600 a month. That makes sense to me based on they're doing something that's never been done before really effectively at a scale that's like not easily achieved. Like, so yes, it should be worth a lot of money. Like, and that's where if it's just a $20, like, so I was disappointed, but also happy at the same time to finally find something that was like crazy valuable and then priced as if it's like not it's just valuable. Another commodity. Right. And just as you can see, like on this path view, daily running shoe, everyday runner, best running shoes for men, best running shoes for 5K and 10K, Nike running, like continually, like this, we've been wanting stuff like this forever. And now it's available because of AI and for no other reason. But what Nico says is right. Like, you have data in your portals already, in your system, you know, whether it's ERP, CRM, spreadsheets, emails, that can already tell you stuff like this for your business. You just have to use AI effectively to get there. Very cool. Cause this, like, while we say that stuff out loud, it's very hard to see it. Like, because it takes a lot to get businesses to start doing this stuff. So seeing an outcome of a product like this, says, okay, for sure, it's possible. Now, can we get you to do it yourself instead of going to pay $600 a month like to go tell you what everybody else outside of your business is doing, right? Instead of understanding the data you have, because you get, and this is where stuff like HubSpot's own Pathfinder, like the customer journeys tool, they are building stuff like this into the platform, but you have to connect the context dots first, like for AI to be effective, and you will get some very valuable insights. We're at time, we're a little over. So I hope this was insightful. We'll be back tomorrow. I'm sure this will be an update kind of week, product drops on the way. So everybody have a great week. Thanks so much, Nico.
Have a good one, guys.